Psalms chapter 31, Psalm 31, in verses 19 and 20. And Angie, I don't know if you can just use the King James, I guess, because I think, oh, you got it already? Oh, awesome. New Living Translation. Some I like and some are a little sketchy, but this one is quite good. A lot of times, we read 19, and I've actually had verse 19 previous to this, about talking about how God wants to manifest His goodness. And He will do it through any vessel that will allow Him access. Because a lot of times God's goodness is carried out through His people, who in turn show others goodness and kindness. So let's start with verse 19. How great is the goodness? This is out of the New Living Translation. Okay, that's good. How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you? You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, safe from those who conspire against them. You shelter them in your presence, far from accusing tongues. And I spent a lot of time this week thinking about these scriptures a lot, and just writing down some things that I see. And I'm thinking about the brothers and sisters in Ukraine right now, and how some of them are using a cardboard cutout of a rifle to fight against the tanks and the missiles and the bombs from the Soviet army that's invaded their country. Do you might not think that they would benefit from God's protection that we prayed at the very beginning of the service? That's what motivated me to pray that way, because I've been thinking about these scriptures and how important they really are. But you know, I know many of you are, you just love the Word, and we live on the Word. We it's hard to live without it. My question is, do I know enough of it to live on if someone took all my Bibles away from me and I never had another one? Would I still be able to sustain myself with the Word that over the years I've got down on the inside of me? I'd like to think I would, but I can't honestly say, depending on what situations we find ourselves in and the pressures that life brings to many of us. But how great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you? This was not in Don's notes and scriptures about fear last week, I don't think, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the respect, the reverence, and the awe, and the revelation of who He really is. And when we come to Him with those things in mind, a heart to know Him, a heart to want Him involved in our lives, He's the author of goodness. And so out of that abundance of His goodness, Jesus came forth. And God demonstrated His goodness at the cross. Because love and goodness is a byproduct of love. If you really love somebody and you really care about them, you're going to be good to them. You're going to be kind to them. You're going to have compassion and mercy. And all of those things started from our Heavenly Father. And now as believers, those are down on the inside of each one of us. Why? To show others. That's the way God's goodness spreads. It spreads through His people. We're the witnesses. And so, for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection. Gary talked to me for almost an hour this morning, and he really wanted to be here. And like I said, he's not quite ready to transition out of home to be here. And he said, "What's your opening scripture today?" And I remembered him saying that his internet wasn't working, because I almost said, "Well, it'll be posted late today before sundown on the internet, and you can listen to it." And he says, "No, I want you to tell me." So I had him turn to these scriptures, and we talked about them together. To those who come to him for protection, I think initially, and this is just Rick being honest and about this, is I didn't realize all that came with asking Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I came wanting to be free from drugs. And all of a sudden I came to realize I got the whole hope chest of all of his goodness at the same time. And I learned, you know, over the course of time as we've been saved, how God pours his goodness out upon us every day. The little things, the big things. But it all comes from him. Anything that's good comes from him. Lavishes on those who come to you for protection. Gary said, he was using something that I had said. I told you when I go on missions trips, and I'm literally thousands of miles from home, I feel like Bubble Boy. I don't know if some of you have seen that movie. Was it John Travolta? That he had no immune system. And so he was enshrouded in this plastic sphere, if you will. And everything that he received for food and sustenance and care, it had to be so incredibly meticulously safe so that no bacteria could get in and cause an infection, because he had no immunity to anything. And I thought about when I'm on these trips, I always made the comment, I felt like Bubble Boy. I felt like I was totally surrounded in this sphere. I couldn't see it. I couldn't feel it. I couldn't touch it. But I just know it's there. And we all have that. But you know, sometimes we have to get out of our flesh and out of our feelings and out of our emotions to come to the reality of God's presence. He promised us his presence. And that is one of the greatest blessings that we could ever have, is his presence. He dwells within us by his spirit, and it don't get any closer than that. I mean, that's closer than skin. And how safe and protected. I've had outwardly what would be a few close calls where my safety may have been threatened. But I felt safe. I didn't get into fear. And I saw God literally provide a bodyguard that saved me out of a kidnapping. And I don't know. The people said, "Aren't you afraid?" I says, "No. We prayed in church back on Sunday that God would protect me. This is my bodyguard." It was an answer to that prayer. So I'm a firm believer that whenever any of us head out of here on a missions trip and you all gather, I'm going to be the first one to put my head under your hands, because your prayers work. Your prayers move mountains. Your prayers activated God on my behalf. Why? To show his goodness to me. And I felt very safe and protected in that environment. All the food I ate, I've never got sick on any food on a missions trip. And I've gone 18 times now. And I've eaten all kinds of stuff. Some of it I don't even dare to ask what it was. All I know is it nourished me and it protected me. But I never got sick from any foods that I ate. Got sick on a cup of coffee I didn't pray over, though. Botulated rotten goat milk baking out in the hot sun because there's no refrigerators. Yeah, I got negligent. I didn't pray over that cup of coffee. blessing them before the watching world. Do you know the whole world around us? It's a world of witnesses. That every time God blesses you, they're aware of it. They get jealous. They get envious. They think we're better than anyone else. Those are some of the accusations that come against us. All you people are so religious, you think you're better than the rest of us. No, I don't think that, but I know I'm better off. I know I'm better off saved than I've ever been lost. Drugs, hallucinogenics, they all warped my picture of that before I was saved, but I know that God blesses us before a watching world. He does it very openly. People know. They watch our lives. Yes, that's absolutely right. And so they're watching. And I like the way that this said watching, because our lives are on display. They really are. And I know that we're so used to it that we probably don't think about that much. But because God wants to pour out his goodness on everyone. You know, Jesus was given for the lost. That's how we got saved. God showed his goodness even to the unsaved through the cross. He kept us all alive until we got saved. Some of us had a few skirmishes, a few bumps in the road along the way. But he kept us out of his goodness. And now the whole world, all the people that I've known in my life that are still alive. Well, he sure turned over a new leaf. No, man, the whole thing was uprooted. I got a whole new tree growing in me now. And my leaves don't wither. They don't fade. They stay green and lush and well-nourished in the water of the Word. And you're the same. You hide them in the shelter of your presence. This is part of his goodness, what he does. You hide them in the shelter of your presence. I was talking to Gary. I get word pictures. Some people would say they're visions, but I like to call them a word picture because I see stuff. And I was talking about, I've been camping quite a few times with a tent. And they have moisture repellent that you put on the outside of the tent. So if it's a particularly clear night and there's a lot of dew, the tent gets damp. And it gets damp on the inside of the tent even. And it gets kind of smelly and your bedding gets damp, you know, because it's down next to the ground. But that repellent that you put on the tent protects the tent and the inside of it from getting damp. And I think of myself in him, in Christ, is that place of shelter. And the repellent that keeps me from the enemy running roughshod over my life is insect repellent and water repellent. All these things that when you go camping, you bring. Why? To protect you. And his presence is not only the Spirit in us, but you've got to remember the anointing. The anointing is in us and upon us, and it works through us so that this physical body cannot contain the Spirit. Did you know that the Spirit is bigger than your flesh? Somebody talked about astral projection. I got into some of that in Florida many years ago. I never got completely out of my body, but astral projection makes you aware that you have a spirit and that it's bigger than your fleshly body contains. So I was dabbling in that kind of stuff. But that helped me better understand the Holy Spirit. I thought he could just blast us apart into a million pieces if he released all of the power that he is. But yet he dwells in these mortal bodies of flesh and bone and blood. Tell me that's not awesome. Just and you are no more because of his fullness in us and his protection. And how we're sheltered. Like the shadow of the Almighty, abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. The world can't see it, but it doesn't mean it's not real. Look at gravity. I can't see it. I'd like to challenge somebody that says they don't believe in these things and use gravity as an example. Let's go up and jump off the roof together. See what happens. Face plant.
Well, I didn't believe in gravity before, but I guess I better believe it now.
It's the same with his presence. I can't see it. I can see the results of it. The new bulletins talk about the Holy Spirit, and it was a conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus. And he introduces Nicodemus to the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Spirit goes wherever it wants to go. I don't know how it goes. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where it's going. It just is. And that's what's beautiful in the life of a believer. This is really big stuff. And he keeps us safe from those who conspire against them. Who? The ones who fear him. So safe from those who conspire against us. Faith and I can tell you we've had several examples of where people conspired against us. A lot of them have died. Because sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut and let God work it out. There's some things you just can't fix. And you really have to know who you trust. You really have to know who you believe. Because there are times when we can make more of a mess for ourselves by trying to justify something than just being still and letting this truth play out in our lives. You shelter them in your presence. There we go, we said it again. Far from accusing tongues. I want to come back to the King James Version here just for a minute, because there was something else in here that caught my eye. 31 verse 20. Oh, yes. Verse 20 says, you shall hide them in the secret of your presence from the pride of man. So it's worded a little differently. From the pride of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Now, that's two aspects that this New Living Translation didn't really address to my satisfaction. I wish they would have gone a little more. That's why I like to bring different versions, because some say the same thing, but they just say it differently. But what happens with pride? Pride causes destruction, doesn't it? And haughtiness before a fall. And so when a person comes to you in a form of pride, they don't really know it, but they're setting themselves up to take a fall. And usually when pride comes, that's where you get the, I'm better than you are, you better talk up to me. You better treat me with a little more respect. And pride is all about elevating oneself. That's why I like to say Christian life is far better than selfies will ever be. That's my Facebook motto. Because we have history of how pride has taken people down. And it's ugly, it's mean, and it shows no favor with anyone. It's vindictive, it's revengeful. And eventually, many people have been killed out of pride. So it is a serious thing. And yet here, God said that we will be safe from that, and that he will shelter us from the power of strife or the tongue. And that's another thing. We keep coming back to words and the power of our words. When you see how the strife of tongues stirs up trouble, you just spoke of it, Lorraine, in your workplace, and how anger and jealousy is expressed.
That's just the tip of the iceberg, too, but...
Yes, I know. We could talk a lot. I'm trying to stay focused. You know me, I can go in like that. When you think about what does the word mean and how do people react because of it. See, this is talking about relationships with people. That's another level that this is written on. Not only the level with us and the Father, but with us and other people in our walk of life. These things affect our quality of life. They affect our character, our dignity, our respect, our honor, our love for one another. These are like flags. You can flag this verse and guard ourselves against the other side of this. The strife of tongues. We know from our study on words that our tongue can stir up so much trouble that sometimes we'd probably be better if someone cut it out of us. Well, I shouldn't say that about you. You've got a perfect tongue. But me, I don't know. Sometimes the chopping block would be the thing. Because sometimes we find out after we've said it and it's out of our mouth. And it's like taking a pillow full of feathers up on top of Mount Washington on a windy day and opening up the pillow. And then 10 minutes later, try to put all the feathers back in the pillow. Anger stirs up strife. All of these things play into this. But in the Lord, if we're on the receiving end of that, from other people, He protects us. Now, you can take the hurt, you can choose to be offended, but one of the blessed things about being a Christian is even being offended is a choice. You can choose to get all bent out of shape, take a whack at somebody. Oh, excuse me, Christians use, we bless them with a brick, but do it in love and wear a glove. See, we dress it up. But the truth of the matter is, I know every one of you pretty well, and I'm sure that there are people in your life that got to you at one time or another, and the entertainment of just whacking them a little bit, just enough to get their attention, might have crossed your mind. But God protects us if we choose to take advantage of it. I could get offended just as easy as anybody else, but I've come to realize that it's a choice now, and it's one that I'm learning to make more and more often as time goes on. Because a lot of people are getting bitter and unkind around us in the society that we're living in right now. Well, God has protected me from taking offense as something they might say. What do we expect unsaved people to be like? They don't know who we know. They have a whole different value system than we have. So God gives us mercy to show them mercy because they don't know any different. And they're helpless. And they need help, just like we did before we got saved. So when I started really thinking all week about these two little verses of Scripture, it's about relationships. With Him first, the vertical relationship, and then there's the horizontal relationship. Vertical is with Him, horizontal is with our fellow man. And this goes a long ways to helping me to better understand how I don't have to handle all of those things. Like I said, sometimes it's better to say nothing and let the favor of God, let the blessing of God, let the anointing of God, let the goodness of God work it out on my behalf, because this assures me that He will, so long as my attitude towards Him is right. Now, if I get a bad attitude, that hammer's going to hit my thumb that it might have otherwise missed. Things happen when we get out of fellowship with the Lord, when we don't keep that relationship right and open, and we start getting into ourselves. We open the door sometimes, and we unknowingly welcome these things that come. But if our attitude is right, our relationship with the Lord is right, many, many times we're going to see His goodness and His favor, His safety and His protection. So that's just a reminder, and I'll zip it now. Maybe. No. Because it's a lot to think about. Yes, Peggy?
When you said that we should just be an example for your family and for people, and this is just a cute little thing. When I got my new house, it had like tip out in the living room, had a desk and drawers, and I said, I want move, and I want the couch to go in there. Well, while I was gone, my little wannabe granddaughter came down, ripped it out, called me and said, oh, Nana, that couch is not going in there. So I said, all right, Lord, if the couch isn't going in there, it's not going in there. But if you want the couch to go in there, it will go in there. So I get home, she's there, she said, I told you it won't fit. And I said, well, just try it one more time. So she shoves it in the hole, she turns around, and she looks at Kaylin, and she said to Kaylin, Nana prayed. So you see, they do know that you pray, and just be yourself. Don't preach at them or whatever. Yeah. If they come to you and want to know about God, you tell them what you know. And if they don't want to hear it, then you just say, all right, Lord, say
beautiful. Well said. But I would like you just briefly, so that you kind of see how this particular scripture that I wanted to at least read it together to sort of give you something to take home with you, if you will. And then we'll develop it more next week, because you know this months and months and months of fail-proof living from Peter's revelation. It's taken so long to get there. And the last one was the agape love that he said to basically let that develop in us, because it's the one that seems to take the longest, because it's the most disruptive to the way things always have been. And when love prevails, there's nothing that can stop you. And so the scripture, just for your benefit today, is Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And as I read it, I'd like just to read it maybe as like a benediction type of a thing as we prepare for whatever else the Lord has for us today. But just let these words go deep in your spirit, because it's written to you, but it's written about you. Almost 2,000 years ago. Since we heard of... Oh, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. These are very endearing words that the Holy Spirit wrote through the Apostle Paul. Interesting how the man who was standing there and holding the coat of Stephen while he was being martyred, and Paul was standing there holding his coat. You talk about a changed heart, a changed life. A man who... very religious, very dedicated, very committed, but he had no love whatsoever for the Christian community, and his life showed it. Until, shall we say, he got knocked off his horse.
High horse.
Yes, knocked off his high horse. I don't know how hard the thump was when he hit, but I'm sure there was one. And so I would like to leave that with you, just to know that all these years ago, the Holy Spirit had him pen these beautiful, beautiful words of hope and comfort, because the church at Colossae was under a lot of persecution as a new church. The pressures came because they were born-again believers. They were pretty rough coming out of a bad life before they got saved. If you study the history of some of these cities and how powerfully the gospel reached them, and they were changed too. And I think hurting people are so familiar with the love of God, so appreciative, so thankful, and so quick to show others. And when I come here every week and I see all of you, I'm just in awe at what the Lord has done among us. I mean, think before we were all saved, would we be sitting in this room on a Sunday or doing this or just getting up? You know, but the hope and the purpose and the love that He's put into each one of us, and how it started with Himself and He put it into us. And now the work of the Spirit is manifesting that in our lives. And this is the love that Paul is going to talk about again in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a love that's seen around the world. That's how powerful it is. It's a love that can change a wicked, evil, stony heart. Faith and I saw a seminar once when we were still in Florida, and we were going to some pretty rowdy events in the Lord, but they were a lot of fun and we grew a lot. But we saw the grand dragon of the KKK had got saved, and they had his robe all wrapped up and they were throwing it like a football all over the congregation. It was awesome. And how if the love of God is so powerful to save a man who had such evil in his heart, how much more hope is there for the person that you're still waiting to get saved or see saved? How much more hope does that inspire even ourselves? Because it's true, times are tough. We're going to be pinched and squeezed too. But we've got something to stand on. We have a good solid foundation, and that foundation is the Word, and it's also in Christ Himself. He's the foundation that Jesus Christ said, upon this will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. No matter how bad things look around us, the enemy is not going to overcome and subdue the body of Christ. We may be hindered, we may be restricted a little, but guess what? I've read all the way to the end countless times, and you know what? We win. There, I've said enough. We win. And it's good. And I know Kelly had a couple words of knowledge addressing a particular situation, but do any of you that have other prayer requests for yourselves?